What are we talking when?
What are we talking about? Marcus, I'm going to guess you didn't even look at the outline. Is that correct?
I looked at it. You misspelled Predator in the title. Clearly.
Oh, that's a Predator. Predator.
The Predator.
That's the Roman Predator.
This is actually we're doing our podcast for our New Zealand fans. Have you watched Predator?
All right, well, there's the intro. Thank you.
I'm ready.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Real DMC Podcast. DMC stands for Dave, Marks, and Colin. What's up, guys? Haven't done this in a while. How you been?
Doing good, Dave. I really enjoyed your podcast with Bill. Great listen.
Thank you. That's some good listener feedback, Marcus. I appreciate it.
direct on the line, right there.
And I'm doing well as well.
Yes. Good for you, Colin.
I also liked the Halloween podcast. It was very good.
Oh, good. Yes. Well, I'm going to talk about the Halloween podcast and how we ended up there in a second.
Excellent.
Before that, just a quick movie news note, by the way. Apparently, a remake of the movie Roadhouse started filming today that stars Jake Gyllenhaal. And I just have to say that you can't touch the greatness of the original Roadhouse. So, I mean, I'm sure it'll be good. I enjoy Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor, and I'm sure it'll be fun. But come on, man. Some things just should not be touched. That's just my opinion on that.
I don't know who the audience is for on this one, but you can go back and listen. We did a Roadhouse podcast quite a bit ago.
Yep. Well, I would say that Jake Gyllenhaal would not be the natural choice if I were going to be casting the Patrick Swayze role.
But come on. Patrick Swayze, after watching Dirty Dancing, is Patrick Swayze the bouncer you'd expect?
So exactly. And so I'm totally willing to give this a shot. Now, I saw the picture from the set and Jake had a huge smile on his face and I'm like, really? I don't know. I don't know if I could see him as Dalton, the cooler from hell. But I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm thinking, I think Christian Bale might have been a better choice, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm saying is if someone doesn't get their throat ripped out in this one, it's a failure. So, and that's a requirement.
What if Jake Gyllenhaal reaches into a guy's chest and pulls out his still beating heart?
That would be impressive.
Yeah, you know, that'd be pretty good, I guess. But, you know, there's just, you can't beat a really good throat rip. All right. Well, moving on to our listener feedback. So we did receive some listener feedback from our frequent listener and friend of the show, Nick, who happens to be an archaeologist. And he was actually out on a dig in Greece, and he sent some feedback in. And he said, just finished the Donnie Darko pod. Colin does a really good Mark Wahlberg impression. Made me laugh while sorting through some Roman garbage. So Colin, congratulations on your Mark Wahlberg impression. Any chance you could find it within you to do it right now?
No, I don't think so. You should have prepared me ahead of time. But
sorry, I guess it was just a one and done. Yes. So, besides, Colin, you don't do impressions. Your training is in the field of psychiatry, I believe.
Nice poll.
All right. Well, getting back to what Marcus referenced before, so we ended up having a bit of a directional change for the overall pod. So, just to talk about that for a second. Had a chance to sit down with a friend of mine, Bill Tiller, and we went through the Halloween franchise and just had kind of a fun discussion. A lot of that pod was really focused on what we think is going to happen with the end of the new David Gordon Green Halloween trilogy, Halloween Ends, and we talked through, and Bill basically provided a bunch of crazy theories. So if you are in any way interested in Halloween and somehow missed that pod, would recommend that you go back and take a listen to it. The other thing we realized when we were doing it was just kind of fun to be talking about a broader range of a topic than just a single movie. So we're probably going to be dipping in and out of doing individual movies and then maybe having just a general discussion about a director or a topic or a franchise. And for today, we're actually going to be talking about the Predator franchise. There was a new Predator film that was released on Hulu called Prey, and we all actually happened to watch that. So we thought, we were debating a little bit behind the scenes as to whether or not it's a good movie or not. And then that led to some general Predator franchise conversation. And so we decided, hey, what the hell? Let's just talk through the Predator franchise and we'll do a little bit of a deeper dive on Prey. So that's what we're going to be doing here today.
Did we all just happen to watch it or was it more of a coordinated effort?
I was coordinated.
I don't know. I just kind of happened to watch it, honestly. Did you Did you were you watching it before I told you to watch it?
I watched it because I thought you weren't interested in doing it, so I watched it. I didn't even take notes.
I only watched it because you guys told me to.
See? It okay, was coordinated. Well, I told you.
Way to fall in line, Marcus. Thank you.
At least I watched it.
Yeah, so I guess what I'd say is if you're interested in the Predator films, the Predator franchise, you've come to the right place, because we are going to hit on each of the movies just in general and talk a little bit about the Predator mythology, but then do a slightly deeper dive on Prey. I think we all probably liked Prey as a movie, maybe Colin and I, or we might be a little bit apart on some aspects of the film, so should be an interesting discussion.
You have no idea what I think.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
Marcus is a bit of a wild card. Well, maybe we can just start there. So
honestly, I'm just happy that you watched the movie.
So maybe we can just start there. So how about just your thoughts in regards to the Predator franchise in general? Like the Predator as an IP, an intellectual property. A Predator as an IP. What did you guys think of it? I mean, is it something that you're drawn to? Are you interested? Like, for example, when this new film was released, were you paying any attention to it or some of the previous films that were released? I mean, what's your just general thought about Predator? Marcus.
I've only watched the first one and the last one. I don't think I've seen any of the sequels. It kind of tells you what I think of the franchise. I really enjoyed
it. It should also be very helpful when we talk about the franchise discussion as well.
Well, yeah. I might be a little blank on the middle part.
That's okay.
I really enjoyed the first movie. It reminds me, and it's very much so, an 80s action movie. It reminds me of Commando. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was made in 88. It's just very much like kind of a dumb, fun movie. And I didn't really hold it in high regard, but it's an enjoyable movie to watch. Beyond that, I don't really, like when Predator, maybe I did see Predator 2, but I don't remember a single thing about it. It doesn't excite me at all.
Yeah, I think we may have seen Predator 2 together, actually.
It was probably that one time I saw it and just did not strike any excitement in that. And then any of the Alien, then they went off the rails with the Alien vs. Predator and like all the sequels, and they lost me on all of that. But the first one, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good film. I thought the character of the Predator was really cool. It was like kind of a unique thought about like having a even more apex predator hunting humans. So it's kind of a cool concept. But I don't think they really did much with that in the sequels.
Colin.
Yeah, I don't really hold it in high regard. I had not seen really most of the sequels. I mean, I had seen Predator 2, and I think at that point I was like, yeah, I'm done. and then I did watch The Predator because it came out in what, 2018, 2019? I think it was. Yeah. And I saw it only because I thought it was interesting that Shane Black was directing it. And, you know, it was okay. And it's just, yeah, as an IP, it's not something that I'm really drawn to. In fact, the original movie I like, but, you know, it's not really my cup of tea exactly. You know, it's very, very action oriented. It's really a movie that's designed for like 16-year-old boys. Yeah. And I kind of moved past that. You know, I kind of grew up. And so while I do appreciate the movie, it's not like really high on my list. In fact, I don't even think it's on the 238.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have
that actually doesn't surprise me, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's like,
yeah,
like Commando. You wouldn't put Commando up there either. Like, it's a fun movie to watch.
Oh, dude, I mean, Commando does not ever veer towards being a genuinely good movie. I mean, it's a cheesy, fun movie, but it is not a good movie.
Yeah, this one's very close to that in regards. Like, it's much closer to Commando than Predator is to Die Hard, right? Like,
well,
actually, so I disagree on that, actually, because I think the original, we'll talk through it in the franchise stuff, but I actually think the original Predator is quite an accomplishment when it comes to filmmaking, so I do hold that film in high regard.
Well, Marcus, it's the same director as Die Hard.
Yeah.
but honestly, like, Predator to me is like the sort of the ultimate movie for guys who like movies, right? Like they used to do on Spike.
Like, it's like guys who like sweaty guys.
Yeah,
that's what that movie is for,
basically. Guns, violence, and coolness.
Good quotes.
Like that's basically it.
Good one-liners.
Yeah, I mean, my take on it is that it's funny because I think Predator is an intellectual property that I think I should like more than I do. And that's kind of the way that I would summarize it, because, you know, we'll talk about our experiences with the first movie, because that definitely influenced this. But for example, when Prey was announced on Hulu, I was like, oh, they're making another Predator movie. Didn't really actually have any intention of even watching it. So, you know, I just, and I think my problem with the Predator thing is I think the first movie is really good and interesting, but the problem is it's so repetitive for the rest of the films. It's just Friday the 13th in a high-tech fashion, basically, right? You know, there's a group of people, you know, there's a creature out there, you know, they're going to get killed one by one, and it's going to happen with some cool weaponry. And that's going to be, and then there'll be a final duel. And there, I think one of the challenges I have with the overall film series and just kind of the property is it's not something that is really has been innovative in any way throughout the entire progression. It's actually much more repetitive. In fact, one of the things that I would say stands out in the series is the fact that they do so many callbacks to the original. So there are repeated lines of dialogue. There are repeated weapons. There are, you know, the score beat. I understand them using the same score. So Predators, for example, draws pretty heavily on the Alan Silvestri score from the original film and all that, you know, so that's kind of fun in a way. But again, you just know exactly what's going to happen every single time. And, you know, with Friday the 13th, obviously you're getting into it and you expect that and that's fun. I do think that within, let's just call it the Predator expanded universe, you could do other things and more interesting things with the property, like what's happening with the Predator homeworld, or, you know, who knows what's going on, and, you know, or other things that they might do within Predator society. I don't know. Is there something there? I'm not really sure. I myself am not terribly drawn to the material, but I just think that for the films that they've made, they've been very repetitive.
I totally agree.
It's an interesting analogy with Friday the 13th, because I think you're pretty much dead on. And why do people like that? Well, because they want to see Jason killing people. And I think that's
in creative ways, by the way.
Yeah, in creative ways. And I think that's why people, yeah, you know, like the Predator series, because they just want to see the Predator and they want to see the Predator killing people in interesting ways. To me, yeah, that's why it's really not my cup of tea.
It's also interesting that they cross over with the Aliens franchise, because the two creatures are somewhat similar. In Aliens, they do something with it. They do go to the home world. They do like all sorts of different scenarios and have different stories with it, which I think makes it pretty interesting, a lot more captivating franchise than Predator, I think, to that regard. And it's funny that the two do crossover, which those crossovers, that, like, that's where I think they totally lost me. It's just like, this is, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to see aliens fight Predator, but like, it's also just kind of, I don't know, it reminds me of like a Marvel what if. Like, it's just like, oh, what if alien fought Predator? What would happen? Oh, let's make that movie.
Right. Well, that's
why it doesn't work as a movie for me.
To me, it's all about, like, this is what 12-year-old boys want. They want to see, oh, that'd be so cool. Yeah, alien fights a predator. Oh, yeah. Well, they went out and did it. And yeah, like the comic series, I thought that was kind of interesting, because I thought that was a really great medium for that. But I didn't need a movie. And I didn't even bother to go see those movies. I have seen them now because of this podcast. But yeah, like, I had zero interest in that property.
Well, let me ask you two questions, actually. So the first one is, and I think Marcus already answered this, but what is the last Predator movie that you saw in theaters?
Oh, geez, in the theater? Like,
yeah,
that would be Predator 2.
Yeah, right. Probably the same.
Yeah, same for me. So, and you know, saw Predator 2 in the theater all of one time, and was that was more than enough for me. That movie's pretty bizarre, by the way. There's some weirdness there.
It's not so much bizarre as it just awful.
They also didn't do much with the franchise for a long time, right? Like, the Predator 2 came out in 1990. They did the crossover with Alien vs. Predator, and that was 2004 and 2007. So the next, like, standalone Predator movie was 20 years after Predator 2. And so it just seems like a weird, oh, let's just reboot this.
And I think that's honestly what it is.
I didn't even know that they had Predators and the Predator, like, until I saw Prey, and I didn't even know Prey was coming out. Like, I don't know if it's just marketing or if it's just because it was on Hulu or what. Like, I had lost complete track of this franchise once they did the Alien vs. Predator. I just said, I forget it. Like, Freddy vs. Jason, Aliens vs. Predator, there's just goofiness. So,
right.
Well, I think you're right, Marcus, in that it is very interesting to me that this sort of franchise, it just, there's, you know, fairly wide gaps between the sequels, except for, like, the first sequel. And it's almost like they're doing it because
they have new 16-year-old boys.
It's like, yeah, basically, it's like, oh, you sort of forget how bad the last one was. And then somebody goes like, oh, you know, we need a new Predator movie. And people forget how bad the last one was. And so they do it and they're like, yeah, this really isn't very good. Either that, but Dave, I think your point is that they're very formulaic. It's like the same movie over and over again. And that's why you sort of have to have like 10, 20 years between the movies to have a new one, because the last generation sort of forgot about it. And now it's like there's new eyeballs to see it.
When is the last time you watched or rewatched the original Predator?
Oh, that was probably 4 or 5 years ago, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah, 15 years, 20 years maybe
and,
for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And prior to that, it had been like a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, I did actually watch it with Dylan probably maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And what's fun about that is, and it does show that I at least hold the movie in the original in high regard, because, you know, when my son got old enough to start watching some of the movies or some R-rated movies together, that was probably within maybe the first 10 movies that I showed him. I just thought, okay, this would be fun. This would be, you know, exciting. I think this is a good movie. And he liked it, and you know, we had a good time with it. But then he moved on, and certainly I'm not aware that he's ever actually pursued additional films in the series. So, it's interesting to me that I actually would have chosen to show him that movie. And I'm not really sure why I did. It was just kind of like, hey, randomly, I'll just pick this movie. But it does show that I at least think that it was a good film.
Yeah, I think it's well done. Like the original, I think it's definitely an enjoyable movie. But I think to Colin's point, it's definitely a guy's action movie. It doesn't, it's fun to watch, but there's not much more to it.
Yeah, well, so how about, what was your experience? Do you recall your experience when you first saw the original Predator?
No.
I think so, because I was in high school.
I was in junior high.
I think I went to see it with friends from high school, and I think we all thought it was like really cool, and it was a lot of fun. And it, I mean, to me, it was cool because of the science fiction aspect. And of course, you've got Schwarzenegger and, you know, these huge, huge guys. But that being said, it was like, I knew it sort of for what it was, which was just a very testosterone heavy action movie with some pretty cool sci-fi and a cool monster. And I do remember thinking, you know, when you get the final reveal and the Predator takes off his helmet and you see the mandibles, and you're like, that's a huge surprise. And it's very cool looking. And it's a great, you know, final battle scene at the end between the two of them. And so, yeah, it was really cool. But again, you know, like, as I think I grew older and got into college, it was more like, oh yeah, that was a fun action movie, but it's not very deep, like as Marcus said.
Yeah. No, I mean, I actually remember, because I saw it at Oak Ridge Mall, and I remember walking in because there was this big standee, and it had, you know, the name Predator, and it had the picture of Schwarzenegger where the target is coming in on him. I think they used it on box art and that kind of stuff. So, and I thought it was like, well, that's kind of weird or kind of interesting. And so I was somewhat, you know, captivated, I guess, going into it. And I walked out of that movie thinking like, wow, that was a pretty awesome movie. I really, you know, I liked it. I had a good time. I understood it to be just an action film. I mean, Schwarzenegger at the time was certainly on his way up for, you know, heading towards T2 and some other, you know, iconic films, Total Recall, that kind of thing. And I was a Schwarzenegger fan for sure. But I think that movie was definitely, and I to this day, I would actually say, I think that's one of the best action movies ever made. I think Predator is one of the best action movies ever made, just in terms of like straight, linear, 80s action, testosterone. I don't think they go too overboard on the one-liners and all that kind of stuff. I think it's probably, for Schwarzenegger, maybe one of his top three films, I guess, because maybe T2, Total Recall, and Predator. I'm not sure what else you might put in that mix. But I was impressed with it, and I think it was a good movie. That being said, I recall walking out of Predator 2, and like I think Marcus mentioned earlier, Colin, I'm like, man, I'm kind of done with that. So Predator 2 was a pretty steep drop-off, and I'm actually really surprised, because we'll go through, as we talk about the franchise, some of the IMDb scores and how those films are regarded, because I'm actually shocked that Predator 2 has the score that it does. But maybe we can just talk about the original for a minute.
Definitely, I think for... I don't know about the greatest action movie of all time. That's pretty...
No. I'm saying one of the great... Yeah, yeah. Actually, I mean that in terms of like the construction of that movie. It's very lean, right? It's very lean, action-centric. It's... Because the thing is, it's John McTiernan as the director, right? And you have to remember that John McTiernan was on a hell of a run here, because he did Predator, and then Die Hard, The Hunt for Red October, and then Medicine Man. And when you put those four films together.
you almost made it through with a straight face.
Yeah, and I was repeating a joke that we had in what I think was our 1987 pod that we did. No, I will say I'm not even sure I've seen Medicine Man truthfully, but
I have.
But when you wish I had, you have.
No, I agree with you though. It is maybe my comparison to Commando is not fair because Commando is definitely cheesy and goofy.
Super cheesy.
Yeah, and I don't think Predator is cheesy, but it is just that pure kind of dumb, not in a bad dumb way, but just pure action movie. Like, we're just going to like take you on long for a ride. You know, you drop you in the jungle and you're going. Like, it's definitely a...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really well-made film. I think when you look at it, I think it's an impressively made movie.
Here's what I love about...
I'd have to look at my list of like how high up I would make it, but it's definitely in a great action movie for sure. Go ahead, Colin.
I'll say this. Here's what I love about the movie itself is that this is like sort of at the height of all of these like amazing 80s action movies, right? And then you assemble Schwarzenegger, Jesse the Body, was it Bill Duke, Carl Weathers, Sonny Landham. These guys are just overflowing with testosterone. And you're thinking, like, if you really didn't know what this movie was and you go into it, you're thinking it's going to be another one of these just like super, super action military movies, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's this fucking sci-fi element, and now these guys are being hunted and they're getting killed and they're getting their asses kicked. Yeah. And it's such a great curveball that's why it really, to me, that's why it really works. And you're right. It's really well directed in terms of the action. So it has great action, but it really sort of feeds off of that, what was going on in action movies at the time.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's an 80s time capsule movie for sure. Right. It's in the 80s action time capsule. It's, you know, probably at the top of the stack of maybe some of the action movies you'd want to put in there. I mean, Die Hard would be another one, obviously.
Which one came out first, this or The Running Man?
Oh, The Running Man? I think the Running Man was early 90s, I thought. No?
I don't think so. I think it...
The Running Man is not a good movie, by the way.
No, but I was thinking, because that also has Jesse the Body, and I was sort of thinking that maybe like they were came out around the same time, and it couldn't be more different, right? It's almost like you get the same group of guys in the movie, and yet it completely falls apart. It's not a good movie.
Well, and that's where I'll give credit to John McTiernan as the director, because I do think that Predator is way above anything like The Running Man.
Yes.
Right, as a comparison.
Yes.
Even some of the Rambo movies and all that shit where it's just true, straight, stupid action, this to me is something beyond that. And I think that's why, maybe that's why actually they're still making films in the series. The other reason, I believe, is the creature design. Right, so Stan Winston was responsible for the creature design, and there's a really interesting history on Predator in terms of what they were trying to do. They actually had Jean-Claude Van Damme at one point in a suit, in a green screen suit that he was jumping around. That didn't work out, so they fired him. And you can go online and see the original creature design. And I guarantee you, if they use the creature design that they had for the first time in Predator, I think it's a one-and-done movie. I don't think there's a movie series. We're not having this conversation today. But apparently, Stan Winston was on a plane and he was working on a revised creature design because they weren't happy with the original. And I think James Cameron was on the plane with him, as I understand it, and said, hey, you know what about some extended mandibles? And then Stan Winston liked that idea and wrapped it into it. And that's why you have these movies that we have today, because I will say the creature design is pretty awesome. It's fucking fantastic. I mean, you know, the mandibles, the oversized creature. When you have a creature that is that much larger than Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's this really huge dude, it just works really well. Yeah. And I do think the one thing about that movie is the end duel, they give it 24 minutes. And this is something I went and looked at each of the movies because I was kind of curious. You know, how long, for example, in Prey, the final fight that she has in terms of the showdown with the Predator is 6 minutes, right? But they really give it time in the original Predator to, you know, kind of marinate and develop, and it's a slow burn when the Predator gets there. Like, there's a scene where Schwarzenegger is, you know, he's laying down and you see the Predator crawling over him, and there's some genuine tension that gets created. So it doesn't jump straight to the action. And so that I think is kind of what set the stage for all these follow-on movies, and none of them have been able to recapture, you know, what they were able to accomplish in the first film. Prey comes the closest, in my opinion, but again, it's still somewhat repetitive of the original Predator formula.
Well, I think that's it's a huge, you know, credit to John McTiernan. I mean, he's a great director, and Stephen Hopkins, is just no John McTiernan,
right?
Stephen Hopkins being the director of Predator 2. Yeah, I just don't think
Predator
that
2.
It's had, you know, that level of craftsman as a director, any of these subsequent movies. You're right. Prey comes the closest.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, just about the original Predator, so you had, you know, the weapons part of it, the mythology of, you know, who is the Predator, the whole idea of, you know, honor when there's fighting. You know, it's set up a mythology and a standard set of tropes that unfortunately do get repeated in every movie that follows. But, you know, if you go through that, the pattern is, okay, there's going to be a slow reveal where the, you know, the Predator is going to show up slowly. People will start getting picked off. There'll be, I think as the movies have gone on, by the way, I think there's been an overemphasis on the Predator technology. So they give him all kinds of different weapons, you know, spinning discs and nets that cut into you and spears and who cares, but like a lot of different stuff. There's always going to be the final showdown, right? So that started with Schwarzenegger versus the Predator in the first one. And every single time it's been down to, you know, a mono-E alien, you know, kind of fight. And there's the whole sort of, you know, the mythology around mud being able to camouflage yourself and heat signatures and all that kind of stuff. But, and maybe the last thing I would say is I do think that for whatever reason, this has been a franchise where the dialogue that was used in the first film has been repeated ad nauseum throughout the rest of the series to, I think, a detriment, honestly, of the movies. I think it's just, I don't know what it is. There's this weird thing that's going on in the world today, which is if you recognize something, that makes it significant in filmmaking. It's a very strange pattern because things get repeated and it's like, I know that, so that makes it good. And like, no, you just recognize it. So there's, I don't know. That's kind of, I think, some of the stuff I think that has been a detriment, I guess, to maybe expanding the IP or taking it in a more effective direction.
Well, I think also for the first movie, it's the first time you saw all this technology. You were like learning it as you watched the movie. It wasn't like, okay, I know he's invisible. Like, remember when you first watch it, you don't even know, like, oh wait, he's like cloaking. Like, what is even going on? Like, you don't know what that is. You don't know what the dots are initially. You don't know like any of the stuff that happens. And so then when it happens in the first movie, you're like, oh, wow. Like, oh, you know, you get really excited. It's like, you're seeing something new. And then like all this follow on. So you don't like, okay, he's got cloaking. He's got this laser thing. He's got, you know, the technology he has. So it's not as exciting and new that time.
Like what you were talking about, Dave, about recognizing something and then that being good. I think this is, it's all fan service. That's literally what it is. It's like,
right.
I want to you know, give you what you're looking for. And that's, you know, a callback to the original. And, you know, I don't really like that. Like, give me something new.
There's a shit ton of fan service in the Predator franchise, for sure.
Just give me something new, which is why I get bored watching these movies. Because there's
really, I was waiting for what's his name? Tabe. I was waiting for Tabe to say, "You one ugly motherfucker."
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's an example of one of the things that gets repeated. That's, I will say that Predator, the original Predator, does have some fun lines.
I love the dialogue. It's great.
Right. So that's, and I think Shane Black was brought in to punch up the script, as I understand it. And if you're a fan of Shane Black, which I definitely am, he is great at dialogue, character dialogue.
That's also the time, like, it's one of those, like, we were in high school when it came out, and, like, it's one of those, like, you're quoting movies all the time. So Die Hard's the same thing. Like, we quote Die Hard nonstop. Like, Predator has, totally, like, great lines and great action for that, so.
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone was, like, doing Predator quotes in high school, yeah.
Predator noises.
During your Predator noises.
Okay, well, let's see. Anything else you guys want to say about just kind of the Predator mythology or the original film?
I have some, like, bigger questions around, is And I'm not really sure if the franchise is going for that. And I don't even know if their first one was. I definitely did not think of it when I was watching their first movie. But the man as, like, man is the apex predator on Earth. And we're kind of destroying Earth because we're attacking and killing things indiscriminately. And then, okay, here comes an even bigger, badder ass predator killing us and hunting us, kind of making us feel like, oh, this is what it's like when you're hunting other things. Like, was that a message in the first movie? And is that a message they're trying to get across in the franchise? Or is that something they could try to do and they just miss it every time? Like, what do you think?
I think that's really deep, and I don't think these movies go that deep.
All right.
I mean,
well, it's like, funny, literally. Yeah, I don't. That's why I mean, I was going to ask. I don't know that there's anything other than, and that's actually kind of one of the things I think about in terms of Predator being very linear and very focused. To me, it's just a straight up action movie. Like, I don't know that there's any kind of intent around
no subtext,
delivering an additional message, yeah, or man versus nature, or, you know, if you better stop fucking up the planet and hunting everybody because something's going to come kick your ass. I don't know there's any of that. I just think it's pretty straightforward.
All right, as I say, this is where Prey, like, really confuses me, because I think they almost have that message and they don't grasp it that well, it seems.
I don't think so. Now, I think Prey is probably, of all of these movies, goes the deepest, actually thinks about it, and I don't. And Dave, I will say, like, I will agree that Prey does follow the formula, but I also think that it does the best at upending the formula a bit, specifically around its main character. And we could talk about that when we talk about Prey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, they speak to man's hubris, because here comes this fucking 8-foot-tall alien creature with superior technology, and what happens? Well, yeah, we kill him every time. I mean, come on, really? How does that happen?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Moxie.
Mud.
Yeah. By the way,
we've got mud.
how is it that the alien or the predator's technology, its sighting, its infrared sighting technology, and its targeting technology with the triangle, how is that not really evolved over 300 years? I mean, yeah. Come on.
Well, there's that, but there's also just the main question, which is, you can fly across interstellar space and you're a hunter, but fuck, mud. We're doomed.
Yeah, it's just some of it.
I mean, it's a great mechanic in the first film. It really is, because it's, you know, it provides a way to even the playing field between the Predator and Arnold. But, one interesting thing about Prey is when she fell in the mud, I was assuming that the mud was going to come back in a much more focused fashion than it did. But
oh, me too. Really, I totally did too.
It really didn't. So that was, yeah. Maybe, I don't know if that was purposely done to do a little bit of a misdirect, which I think is okay, because I was thinking, oh yeah, shit, she's going to go back and dip herself in the mud, and then she'll be able to fight the Predator more effectively.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, but I thought the mud is still what got him in the end. So it's kind of funny. Like, the mud
is
all mud.
Yeah. The mud got him.
Mud wins out.
Do you think, like, that? Does a Predator have, like, a boss, like, who's, like, watching him? Like, it's like a TV show that they do back on Predator Island or whatever, Predator Planet. And then, like, they're like, watching. Like, fuck, mud again. He's like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's strange, but okay, whatever. We'll go with it. It's part of the mythology.
Actually, I do have a lot of questions about, like, the...
You want to save your questions for the Prey section, or...
No. This is general Predator. Like, what?
Okay.
What are they doing? Like, what?
What are the Predators doing?
Yeah,
that's an excellent question. So I take it to be that this, like, well, let's just talk about the first film. That this Predator, he was just, like, basically your run of the mill Predator who goes out on hunts, and it was like, oh, I heard about Earth, and this should be interesting.
Who do you hear about Earth from? Like, it's not like...
I don't know. I mean, they have superior technology. Maybe they...
Well, they actually... Apparently, they did go there 300 years. 300
right, but
years
we did
before,
not know that in that film. And so it's like, yeah, right. Oh, here's a planet with some civilized people who are so civilized that they're really good at killing each other. This should be an interesting thing. And so they go... And he goes, and maybe this is... Ultimately, you know, it's like it takes the biggest baddest human on the planet for him to go up against. And then it does turn into like hubris, but it's more on the predator side, because finally at the end, you know, like he takes off his helmet, he gets rid of his technology to kill this human without any of those aids, and that leads to his downfall. So it's really more of a predator hubris issue there.
Well, let me ask a different question, which is, are these predators a bunch of just rich, entitled assholes? Because yeah. Who can afford to fly on a planet to, or on a ship to another planet, just to go on a hunting expedition? I mean, are they, you know, so what's the mythology here?
Are they just cruising the universe and like going from like, assuming they're in our galaxy or whatever, they're just flying around different solar systems looking for life to go kill?
I guess so.
They're also one-offs. They just go by themselves and like.
Well, and that, you know, honestly, that is one thing that's interesting, or at least problematic, I guess, through the entire film franchise, is that the mythology drifts all over the place, right? So it's like, what are they doing? Why are they here? What's their intent? You never really come to a conclusion on that, and it does shift over the course of each of the movies.
Did Predator 2 had a female Predator? Is that right?
There was one that showed up at the end. I mean, you could tell. I mean, just look from her body type, it looked like a female Predator. But
were there predator boobs? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if there were predator boobs, but there was definitely a predator hourglass shape.
Okay.
She had a lovely silhouette. This is the thing. I want to know more about the predator culture.
You and Emily ever do any cosplay in that regard?
No. Okay. Yeah, I want to know more about the predator homeworld. I want to know more about their culture, the structure of their society, why this is. I mean, to me, I keep thinking about like Klingons, because it's almost like, you know, they're an offshoot like of the Klingon culture. And they're all like warriors and stuff, except they love to go out and hunt. But they never really go into that in any of the other movies. They maybe in Predators, they try to do that a little bit, but they fail spectacularly. I learned more from the Wikipedia page than I did from actually watching the movie. So I think they really missed the mark there. But yeah, like there's a lot of opportunity, and I think they just miss out on it. But then again, maybe it's kind of like, you know, when you talk like the Halloween pod, and also your analogy to Jason, you know, these characters, these predators, they're sort of like Michael Myers. You know, they've got a single purpose. So you don't want to know too much about them. Otherwise, it just kind of ruins it. Right. If you know more about the shape, if you give the shape some sort of backstory, then it ruins the mystery.
I guess I would say that you would assume that with the span of what is involved in a Predator movie in terms of spaceships and aliens and technology, that it's a little bit more of a larger playing field to play with than, say, Friday the 13th, right?
So, for sure.
Or even Halloween. So that's kind of where, I mean, it's like you can't really, you can't, there is not an opportunity, I think, to evolve Halloween as aggressively as you could with the Predator universe or IP if you wanted to go that direction. But they just haven't chosen to do that.
Well, it's also interesting because you don't get all of these characters, none of them speak, right? So you can't get any exposition. You can't get any explanation of what their goals or anything is. It's very, like, even all the stories you hear from the movies are just made up too. Like, oh, this is their goal. This is what they're doing. This is why they're here. Why do you think that? Like, it's just like, just something's trying to kill you. You don't know. Like,
oh, yeah, that's funny. Actually, their motivation is provided via exposition. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Like, are you talking about just in general? Are you talking about actual predators?
No, just in general.
In general.
Yeah. They're like, in any of them, it's very similar. Like, it's, and we'll make up why they're here. Like, we just make up our own reason why they're doing something.
Right. Well, you should watch The Predators The Predator, because they do a lot of hypothesizing based on very limited information.
Well, how about this? Since we're there, why don't we actually just do a quick review of the franchise, and we can talk about each of the movies, not necessarily super in-depth, but just maybe some things that we want to highlight.
Yeah.
So one thing just to go back on, so the original Predator was definitely a big financial success. So the budget on the film was $18 million. It grossed $97 million. So that was one of the reasons, obviously, why you end up getting a sequel. It also scores a 7.8 on IMDb, so it's the highest of any of the Predator films, which makes sense. Again, some of the comparative scores of the other films as we go through it would be surprising. But one thing that is actually really interesting, so jumping ahead to Predator 2 that was released in 1990, the budget on that film was $35 million and the gross was $30 million. So you would think that maybe that would actually bring the Predator franchise to a quick closure. However, in 1989, I believe it was Dark Horse Comics actually began publishing a series of, I think they were doing individually Predator and Aliens comics. And then what they did was an Aliens versus Predator comic. And that, I think, was well received or was an exciting, interesting idea. By the way, they went then off the rail on some of their combinations. Like it was Batman fighting Predators, Batman fighting Aliens, RoboCop against Aliens or something like that. It was like, you know, just, it was a, you know, mix and match IP kind of battle situation.
Wow. I kind of want to see like RoboCop versus Short Circuit.
Johnny Five
would kick his ass, dude.
The funny thing with like the comparison is when I was watching Prey and I saw the green blood, I'm like, no, the blood's acid. I'm like, wait, is that this one? No, wrong movie.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, well, so getting back to Predator 2, so it was directed by Stephen Hopkins, and this movie is largely a mess, I would guess. I mean, Colin, you and I both, I certainly skimmed it. You may have watched it in its entirety. But there are just a lot of decisions in this movie that are very bizarre. So I don't think Danny Glover works as the lead. And maybe he's trying to be Schwarzenegger in that everything he's doing is way too hyped up. And there is so much crappy... This actually is a better example of a shitty 80s movie. Like if you want to see like a shitty 80s movie vibe of just standard, you know, cop talk and lots of gunfire and... just a weird, I mean, the urban setting, I think, also is not something that works for the Predator because you're moving it from the jungle to the city. That was their first attempt to do something new. I don't think it works at all. And then I will say that the racial stereotyping in this movie for the gangs is off the charts, impressively bad. So maybe I'll just start there. Colin, what do you want to say about Predator 2?
What is your term? It's hot garbage.
Hot garbage, dumpster fire?
Total dumpster fire. Yeah, I think they were trying to, look for, what can we do that's totally outside of the jungle? And like at that time, you know, late 80s, early 90s, there was like a lot of gang violence in LA, you know, Bloods and Crips, and there was, you know, the drug war that's ongoing. And I think they just decided, hey, this is a great idea. Gangland drug war. But that doesn't really fit with what the Predator is doing. You know, these aren't like apex hunters. They're just a bunch of cokeheads with machine guns. So it really makes no sense to me. So that's the first mistake.
By the way, this movie feels like you took a Predator and you dropped it into like an early 80s canon film. Like that's
absolutely
what this movie feels
like. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
With the same level of director as well. Stephen Hopkins did not do a good job. I think he went on to have a pretty good television directing career, but this was not a good movie.
The special effects in this movie are something else that they look terrible compared to Predator. So Predator comes out 3 years before, looks overall, I would say, pretty good and impressive, and it was made for a budget that was less than half what Predator 2 is. And Predator 2 is, there are some really bad green screen moments, like when they're fighting the ship at the end. I mean, it just looks really bad. I am not terribly impressed with this movie. And by the way, it shockingly has a 6.3 score on the IMDb. I think it's maybe the third highest rated film in the Predator franchise, which I think that's one of those things where we've talked about in the past that there's probably some bias back when the IMDb was getting started and people were voting things up. I think if you were to look at it now, I'm not sure it would maintain that score.
Oh, no, for sure. It's more like a 5.3, and that's being, you know, generous.
Yeah. One thing to note, though, for Predator 2 is that at the end of that film, so Danny Glover's character, he ends up defeating the Predator, and then as a reward, I guess, for being the champion in solo combat, because that's one of the elements of the Predator mythology that is repeated. You know, if you square off against a Predator one-on-one and you defeat it, you somehow earn the respect of the rest of the Predators. They just don't show up and kill you. And they end up giving Harrigan the gun that... I'm sorry, what's the woman's name in Prey?
Naru.
Yeah. So they end up getting the they end up handing the gun that Naru uses to shoot the Predator in Prey. So that's a little bit of a callback and a tie into Predator 2. I guarantee you, 97% of the people out there probably missed that. I don't know.
I was one of them.
I did not catch it at all.
Yeah, but and by the way, the other question is, you know, she ends up having the gun, so she keeps the gun at the end in Prey, or she has it. So how do the Predators get it back, and when do they get it back, and why do they choose to give that to Harrigan?
You'll have to see Prey 2.
Okay.
Coming to a streaming service sometime in the next year or two, I'm sure. The final scene of Predator 2 is probably the best scene. Have this great moment where he kills the Predator. By the way, you also get the nice little Easter egg of seeing the trophy skulls in the
alien skull.
Yeah, and one of which is an alien. And I think I guarantee everyone went, "Oh my God, that is so right. cool. Oh, holy shit, they killed an alien," right? And then they battle and he defeats it. And yeah, and then all of a sudden you get like 10 Predators decloaking around you and, you know, around Harrigan. And that was a good moment. That was like a nice little twist where you're like, oh, fuck, you're toast. Right? You're just, now you're just fucking toast. I can't believe I just completely forgot about the moment, because that was a great idea. The fact that, oh my God, they've been coming here for so long. That was not the first time, like in the jungles of Central America 3 years before. And so it was a really, really interesting idea. And I got to tell you, this is how much I give to the Predator franchise in terms of my attention. When this movie came out, I was not thinking about that at all. All I thought about was, because I remember this when, like Andy had asked us, you know, over chat, if we'd seen the trailer for Prey, and I was like, I have no idea what that you're talking about. I don't know what that is.
Right.
And so I watched the trailer. I had no idea it was a Predator movie. And all of a sudden, like halfway through, there's like this, you know, you see the shimmering cloaking of the Predator. I'm like, holy shit, this is a Predator movie? Because I just thought it was like a really cool movie about this Native American girl who wants to be a warrior. And that at that moment, I was hooked. And I wrote back and I'm like, this, I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. I can tell you right now, it's going to be at least the second best Predator movie that's come out. And I was right.
I was very confused, because as you guys were talking about it, like before that, you were talking about Anne Hathaway. So I thought it was like Prey was some Anne Hathaway movie. And then like you veered off to Predator, and like, I'm like, what are you guys even talking? Like, I hadn't looked it up. I was like working or something. I'm like, Anne Hathaway's in a Predator movie? Like, what are they even talking about? And then I finally saw, I'm like, oh.
Truthfully, I wouldn't mind seeing Anne Hathaway square off against a Predator. That'd be kind of awesome.
That'll be the new, it'll be
Selena Kyle.
Catwoman versus Predator. Yeah. but yeah, so I think that I just love that idea of, oh, let's go explore, forget about like doing movies like into the future. Let's go back to the past and see like a Predator on Earth in, you know, the last several hundred years. Like, that's an interesting idea to me. So I'm really glad that they did that. And I didn't even think about it. It wasn't until I watched Predator 2 preparing for this podcast that I realized, oh, and then when the elder Predator gives Harrigan the gun, it's got an inscription on it. It says Raphael Adolini, 1715. And of course, that's how you're like, oh, they've been coming here forever. And then that's when I realized, oh, that's the same gun from Prey. And so it's a clever a great bit of
writing. That, yeah, as I say, really good writing.
Yeah. So
I got to give him credit for pulling anything out of Predator 2 that they wanted to work with.
Yeah. Well, that was the only thing. Now, there was one other thing about Predator 2 that I did like, and that was the scene where the Predator like crashes into the apartment building, into the bathroom, and it's wounded, and then it starts making up like for doing a first aid kit in the sink.
Yeah.
And I really liked that scene, but I was wondering, and you know what I like about it is the sound and the crunching. And the neon liquids blue and all stuff. Of that stuff. Yeah. And Was there a similar scene in the original Predator?
Yeah, so he was bleeding after they had the big shootout in the forest where everybody was emptying their guns, and he was injured, and so you see him, he's up on a tree or something like that, and he pulls out a medical kit, and so you see him suturing his wounds, and I think he gives himself a shot. So he does, you know, so that's one thing that was actually kind of cool.
But does he also, like crush this stuff? Like, he was, like, crushing
that was actually
plaster into the sink and, like, mixing up, like, this concoction. I don't know. There's something about that scene. Maybe it's very ASMR. Really strange.
I think you might have stumbled on a fetish for you, actually.
Really
something
strange.
About, like,
I never thought
crunching
thought.
And melting porcelain really gets you going.
It's Predator ASMR. It's just so weird.
No judgment, dude. I mean, you know, be yourself.
Anyway.
By the way, one other thing about Predator 2 maybe that is of interest is the fact that you have Bill Paxton in the film. And so Bill Paxton's always fun to see. His character is a little goofy, but I don't know, probably definitely brings some energy to the film. And the other thing is, when Bill Paxton was killed by the Predator, he's the only person in film history to be killed by an alien, a Predator, and a Terminator.
Oh, true.
He has that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was this, for him being in that film, he was able to earn that distinction. So congrats to you, Bill Paxton.
Well deserved, Bill.
RIP Bill Paxton, by the way. Love you, dude. Yeah, love that guy.
Seriously.
All right. Well, I think we've talked about Predator 2 more than anybody else has probably in the last 30 years. So we can move on. So then the Predator franchise waits 14 years to make the next one. So in 2004, they come out with Aliens versus Predator. The budget on that film was $60 million. It made $177 million. So it's actually, I think, in terms of, if you look at it from a multiplier, it's the second most successfully or financially successful film in the franchise. Does only score a 5.6 on the IMDb. Maybe there was pent-up desire to see this combination and this fight, or, you know, all that kind of stuff, but and maybe people were disappointed, which is why it gets the low score. I'll say that I think that for what it is, I think it's actually a pretty good movie. Not good movie, but it's acceptable enough, and it has some really interesting ideas that are in it, and I don't think the execution is horrible. So I mean, overall, I think it's okay to good, I guess, for what it is. It's not a movie that I necessarily would be interested in rewatching, but yeah, the basic plot is that the Predators show up and they drill a hole down through the ice in the Arctic Circle, and there is a structure under the Arctic Circle that has an alien chained up, and so they send the Predators down there, and the idea is that they're supposed to fight these aliens and as some sort of a, I don't know, warrior, whatever. Colin, you watched it more recently than I did, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah,
it takes place on Earth.
It takes place.
Yeah, it's on Earth, actually. So it's the, what? It's, yeah,
take,
yeah,
it takes weird. Place in Antarctica. And it's a temple that's like thousands of years old that has an alien making factory inside of it. And every 100 years, the Predators would come to Earth, and with the help of human beings, they would sacrifice the humans. Predators would go in and they would they'd sacrifice like 6 humans. And sacrifice them by, you know, giving them face huggers, and then aliens would burst forth, and then the Predators would hunt the aliens and vice versa. And that was their thing. That was like a whole ritual. And this happened like over thousands of years, apparently up until some point when they stopped coming. But, you know, they say that they draw upon like Egyptian pyramids and Aztec temples and like, you know, like Thai culture and
historical gobbledygook,
like,
yeah, basically.
Like all these different temples, that they're all interrelated, essentially saying that the Predators brought this architecture to Earth and taught it to humans, and that they were temples for this kind of thing, which is just, it's interesting, but it also just makes me scratch my head because, like, where are all the you know, the hieroglyphs of Predators? Or aliens, like, there's no evidence of that, so it's, and
that's just weird.
It's just it, but it's kind of interesting. It's
so you're arguing that Aliens versus Predators does not work because you otherwise don't see references in the actual human records.
I'm not saying it doesn't work, though. I'm just saying
you're a stickler.
It's not that real.
Yeah, I mean, overall,
whatever,
on this one,
whatever. It's like, yeah, you know, but it's actually from a an action film, an action science fiction film point of view, it's actually pretty good. It's, I think it's better than the 5.6 rating. I think it's certainly way better than Predator 2.
I would agree with that. Yeah, definitely. And that's where I think the comparison on the IMDb score is interesting.
Wait, aliens have been on Earth this whole time? All we've been thinking about is like, what happens if an alien gets to planet Earth? You know, they've been here. They're like stuck down in Antarctica. They have a queen in buried in Antarctica for thousands of years.
That just seems bizarre.
It is bizarre.
But then it's kind of like, okay, why does the alien then come to fight Native Americans versus go to the temple? And when do they go to the temple versus not go to the temple, right? The mythology begins to get a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So then, okay, so then moving on. So 3 years later, they make Aliens versus Predator Requiem. I'm not sure what it's a requiem on or for, but it's a requiem. And the budget on that one was $40 million. The gross was $130 million. So it was still successful. The IMDb score is 4.6, which I think is probably appropriate because here's the thing. You can't see a goddamn thing in the entire movie, and it's so frustrating. I remember when I tried to watch it, I tried to turn up the brightness on my TV when I was watching it a long time ago, and I gave up because, I mean, it's literally, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking when they were doing the photography on this thing or if they, after the fact, changed. By the way, I did do some reading. The director purposefully said they were trying to make it dark because after the PG-13 and the response, the general response, I guess, to Aliens versus Predator wasn't what they were looking for. So the intent on this film was to make it hard R. And so as part of that, they also ended up doing a much more, so it was supposed to be a lot more bloody, supposed to be, a little more vicious. And then to try and set the tone, apparently the director said, hey, let's make everything really dark. And so you have scenes that are shot in broad daylight that look like it's night. It's just like, I've never seen it. I don't know if I've ever seen a darker overall movie in my life than this one.
they misunderstood. No, dark, I meant like the gross and disturbing, not like dark. Dark.
And then this one, I guess one thing they do try to do with the mythology is that they do a hybrid predator alien. So there's a predator that gets has the alien goes through the gestation cycle, and then what comes out is it's called a pred alien. And so, and then the pred alien fights a predator.
Predalien.
Like, and ultimately, it's like, who gives a shit? I mean, all this, it's like, and it doesn't really matter anyways because you can't see anything. So it's, if you want to listen to a bad movie, I would recommend watching Aliens versus Predator Requiem.
Are these movies, are they alien movies or are they predator movies? Or are they like, who's the...
Well, it's interesting you say that because the first Aliens versus Predator was a much more sympathetic to the alien position, and what they were trying to do on this one with the second film was to make it more predator centric. I don't know if they accomplished either of those tasks, but there you have it.
The whole predalien thing, I thought we had gone down this route. Was it Alien 4? What was that one called? Sigourney Weaver.
Resurrection. That was Alien Resurrection. Wasn't
Alien
it?
Resurrection. Yeah, with Winona Ryder, and there's the alien human hybrid at the end. Which is just so weird. It's just so weird. Everything you said, Dave, is right on. It's kind of like a bad horror movie, mostly. You know, you're in this small Colorado town that's being overrun by predators and aliens. And everyone's getting killed, by the way. All the townspeople, they're dying. And in fact, I don't want to spoil this for anyone, but the whole fucking town takes a tactical nuke at the end, which is fantastic. But
well, and I think the other thing is, at one point in the film, I do recall, I'm pretty sure they show an alien munching on some babies. Like an alien gets into the maternity ward, and I think tears everything apart. So
yeah, well, they pretty much set it up in the beginning where you got this this dad and his like 10-year-old son out hunting, and they both get face huggers, and you see the kid have a chest burster. This little kid. With the chest burster. I mean, like, all right, it's going to be that kind of movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the best I can say about Alien versus Predator Requiem is they were willing to go, you know, dark from a horror standpoint. They were trying to get there. But again, nobody will ever know what the final result of the movie is because you just can't see it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. All right, that brings us to 2010. So this is where Robert Rodriguez made the film Predators. That has a 6.4 rating on the IMDb. Budget was $40 million. It made $127 million, so it was successful. And overall, I have to say, I think this is a pretty interesting, well-made movie. I think that one of the ways that they changed the mythology here, or they update it, again, in terms of trying to do something new, which is, I think, where a lot of these movies are really trying to get to, but this time, the Predators are kidnapping people and then dropping them on an alien planet. And then it's basically they view the alien planet as a hunting preserve. A couple of things about the movie. So I do think that it's the best film in terms of recapturing the vibe of the original Predator. I think they lean into that. So it's, you know, jungle setting the entire time. There are tons of pulls in terms of the Alan Silvestri score from the original Predator that I think work really well. Same basic idea where you have a group of badasses. In this case, it's individual badasses that are pulled from different, you know, dark, what do you want to call it? Like, bad elements, right? So you have a soldier from Chechnya, you have a mercenary, someone is from the Yakuza. That being said,
Topher Grace.
Yeah, Topher Grace is in there. By the way, I actually like Topher Grace quite a bit, so I like him as an actor.
But it's just the role he plays. It's like, we'll get to that.
This is probably where Colin and I disagree, but you have, so Adrian Brody is the lead, and it just absolutely does not work for me from the very first frame for this entire movie. I think he is leaning so hard into trying to be a wannabe Schwarzenegger and using the Batman voice. If he at least spoke in a normal voice, I wouldn't have a problem, but all of his lines are delivered like, that's what I would do. And it's just, it's so fucking annoying. I don't like it.
I loved it. I thought he was great. He was the best part of the movie.
Jesus. Yeah, no,
he was so good. He was good. He's like, he's instantly likable. He takes charge. You just want to follow this guy. Yeah, no, I think he was great.
I don't want to follow this guy.
He's good. He's good. I happen to really like Adrian Brody as an actor as well.
I like Adrian Brody as an actor too. I mean, actually, I like him quite a bit, but I just don't, I think that this is not the right role. There was a brief period where they were trying to do the Adrian Brody action star experiment, and I believe that this film shows that that experiment is a failure.
I'm not saying I want to see him in other movies, but I think he worked well, and I liked his voice. So there.
Yeah.
We agree to disagree. Yeah,
And a couple of things about the movie that I do think, just to call it out. So the opening and the concept of the opening is pretty awesome because, you know, after the opening film logo, all of a sudden it starts and somebody's in free fall and somebody wakes up in free fall going into the, you know, going, coming down out of the atmosphere, which that's a pretty cool concept actually. So that I thought was pretty well done. The movie does actually do a fair amount of callbacks though to the original Predator. Like you have the guy from Chechnya, and he has the minigun, right? So he has the exact same weapon that Jesse Ventura has in the original Predator, which is, that's what I'm talking about, my example of, I recognize that thing. Okay, it's the same thing. It doesn't necessarily make it great. And the other thing is that there's a duel between the Yakuza guy who is fighting with a katana against the Predator, which it's kind of a fun scene, but it's exactly referencing or it's a direct callback to when Billy stands on the log and pulls out his knife in the original Predator. So
yeah, but doesn't Billy get like killed like almost instantly?
Yeah, the Predator basically just shish kebabs him and picks him up off the ground. So he does not put up much of a battle. Yeah,
but at least here you've got an actual one-on-one duel. And you know who's going to win, but at least it was interesting to see because
up until that point in this movie,
there hadn't been a lot of like Predator action. So I was happy to see something.
Also, you do have Lawrence Fishburne who shows up in here briefly as somebody who's been stranded on the planet for a while. I'm not sure that his character worked. It's like Morpheus went off on some sort of a bender or had a psychotic break. You know, he references that he has an imaginary friend. He's there initially to help them, but then he tries to kill them. And then he is dispatched very, in almost kind of a very simplistic, boring fashion, which is like, okay, well, you introduce this character, he just gets killed a little bit later. So, and then the one thing I think that really doesn't work about this movie is, so Topher Grace plays this doctor, and yes, there's a spoiler here, but at the end, it's revealed that he's just a serial killer. So, and it's so stupid, like the twist at the end. So this movie is at best uneven. It's okay. I think it does a good job of the pulling the feel of the original film, you know, it's fine. That's what I'd say about Predators. Colin, anything else you want to add?
I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it actually was, so I was a little surprised. But it was a really interesting concept that started well, and then once you got to halfway through the Lawrence Fishburne experience, it just fizzled after that. Then it became a straight up, it's like, oh shit, we got to wrap this up. We got like 34 minutes left. Let's bring on the Predators. And let's
bring on and replicate as much of the end duel that we had with the original Schwarzenegger as possible. Yeah.
Right? At least though, you get two Predators fighting it out, which was kind of interesting, although it didn't really last that long.
You also don't understand why they're fighting, by the way.
You don't understand why they're fighting. This is where they tried to do some little world building with the Predators. So supposedly there are like these two different types of Predators. And I didn't get any of that while watching the movie, other than maybe some visual cues, but that was it. And so, like, they could have spent more time, like, get rid of your Predator dogs and actually give us some information on these Predators. Why was one Predator tied up, you know, for most of the movie? I didn't understand it. It was a missed opportunity is what it was.
Yes, which brings us to 2018, which is The Predator, directed by Shane Black. Budget of $88 million, so that I thought was kind of interesting. So they definitely, I mean, granted, it's been a little bit of time, you know, inflation and all, but still, that's a pretty healthy budget. I also think that, you know, personally, I'm a huge Shane Black fan. I think that I love reading his screenplays, for example. I just think that he's a really fun screenplay writer, and I do like many of the films that he's directed. By the way, big shout out to for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. If you haven't watched it, didn't get a huge release or isn't that well known, but great movie with Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. that Shane Black directed. So, and also he made
The Nice Guys.
Yeah, The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, which is also a great great fun movie. So, if you like the Shane Black banter. One of the problems I would say with the 2018 Predator is there's a lot of that in there, and I don't know that the movie really has a good sense of what its tone is supposed to be or where it's
no,
going.
It does
Colin,
not.
You just yeah. So say a little bit more, Colin.
It's all over the place. I don't. The tone is all wrong. It's like, does it want to be a Predator movie or does it want to be a Shane Black comedy? And I don't think you can really have it both ways because it doesn't work. You either have to be one or the other. You know, it can work with like Iron Man a little bit, but we're talking, but Iron Man, a comic book, you know, superhero MCU movie is a far cry from like a Predator movie. And this movie, it's like at times it is very much about Predator violence. And at other times it is just literally there to amuse you.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the whole idea that this group of loonies, and they're a fun bunch, but I would not expect to see them in a Predator movie.
Right.
And this is the one thing that really just like rolled my eyes was at some point Predator kills a soldier and they're in the back of a military vehicle and the driver, the soldier who's driving, doesn't know what's happened. And he's like, what's going on back there? And the Predator picks up the severed arm of the soldier, puts a thumbs up on his hand and like shoves it up into the front of the vehicle. and the soldier who's driving goes like, oh, okay, great. You know, it's like, what the fuck? just pick a fucking lane, right? If you want to make a funny Predator movie, make a funny Predator movie, but do that. I mean, this could have been, if they just decided to do that, maybe it would have been better, but it certainly would have been like a Predator movie. I think you had some issues with Sterling K. Brown because he does sort of like yuck it up a bit with his character.
Someone told Sterling K. Brown, it's like, you know what? Just go for it, dude. Swing for the fences. Take your character and make him manic and weird. And so he does that. He has a great time with it. And I actually really like Sterling K. Brown as an actor. So he's fun to watch, but the tone in terms of like, who is this guy? Is he a, Is he a scientist? Is he a sociopath? I mean, I don't know who this guy is. He's just all over the place. Both.
Yeah, but he is having a lot of fun, but at the expense of like the movie, I guess. I mean, like, it's nothing against him. It's just like, what was Shane Black really going for here? I don't know. And I don't, so as a Predator movie, this doesn't work at all. I'm sorry. It just, like I said, they do actually attempt in this movie to explain more of the Predator society and culture and what's going on. But they do that through human character exposition, who, like, Olivia Munn plays this, you know, scientist, and she is making some wild hypothetical, like, you know, reasoning to explain what's going on with these predators and why they're fighting. Meanwhile, she's seen like one predator up close for about 2 minutes, and then it killed everyone. And then she saw another predator, which was like twice the size of the first one, and it dispatches that predator in like 60 seconds. And then there's a little bit of science that she, you know, like a vial of some liquid.
Because science.
Yeah, because science, that she just like goes, oh, this must be such and such, you know. It's like my mind was going, what? What are you, how are you coming up with this? But
yeah, it's about, this movie has about 50% too many ideas in it, is kind of what it comes down to. But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I get that they were trying to do something different. For example, when the movie starts, they have a predator in captivity. That was new and interesting. Unfortunately, from there, it just didn't really go anywhere terribly fruitful.
Yeah, no. And then there's a lot, and then there's just like a lot of fan service, and that's, it's almost like, hey, here's your predator fix. Here's your predator fix. And they go, they actually utter the line, get to the choppers, and they point to over to where all these motorcycles are sitting, and they're going to run over there and ride the motorcycles away. And I just rolled my eyes. I think I laughed out loud. It was, but not in a good way.
Right. That's a bit of a groaner.
Oh, yeah. Awful. Just awful.
All right. So, which brings us to the 2022 new Predator film, Prey. Available, they're streaming on Hulu. So
I've seen this one.
Yeah. So Marcus has seen this one, so he can jump in here. The budget on this one was $65 million, so they did throw a decent amount of money at it. And I'll start by saying I think this is the second best Predator film. And I think it's actually, it feels fresh in many respects. There's a lot that I like about it. I still am somewhat saddled by the fact that it's just relatively formulaic, but maybe we can just go a little bit into what we think of Prey and the good and the bad.
Yeah. I really liked it. I thought it was the setting I enjoyed, the going back 300 years to, like, they're on the plains in America, the Native American tribe, and you like the super high tech against this like primitive folk. Right? Like, it's not, it's far more interesting.
You think it's going to be a turkey shoot?
Yeah, like, but they hold their own. And that's one of the things where I think this is where they miss out on opportunity for subtext. And this is where actually this movie is what made me think about, like, oh, are they trying to say something about, like, man and nature? Because Native Americans are typically associated being more one with nature than modern man, right? Like, they're, like, and they even show the buffalo and the skinning of the buffalo, and like that'd be a crime in Native American culture. Like, you want to use a whole buffalo, and that those stories that we are told. And so they did have some of that context in it, but they didn't really, like, the predator wasn't like on their side at any point. He was still hunting them as much as he's hunting the French people who were hunting him. So it didn't seem like they really had much, they weren't going too deep again in that. I think they kind of missed his opportunity, but I don't know what they would end up doing anyway. But I really liked it. I love the lead. I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was super strong, great character, like, really shows she's badass. And I enjoyed the overall story. I thought it was really good.
Well, in terms of going deep, I think they did go deep. At least they went, you know, deeper than a lot of these other sequels. Just not in the way that you wanted them to. because I think this is like the only movie where you actually have, you could say that this is not a Predator movie, that this is a movie about the main character, Naru. And there happens to be a Predator, and the Predator is part of like her character arc and her journey.
Right.
She, imagine that, the main human character of a Predator movie who actually has an interesting story. I mean, this is a movie about female empowerment. And
right, and I'd go so far as to say that giving the name Prey shifts the focus of what the film is focused on as opposed to the Predator, which I think all that is really good. And by the way, so you mentioned the female empowerment. It's really interesting when you go and see the reaction to Prey. It's very polarizing, but then that there are, you can go to IMDb, for example, and just go through the reviews, which I think is really interesting. And I actually just, I spent some time, you know, drifting across different review sites. And there are a lot of, I'll just call them dipshits, that can't get past the fact that a woman was taking on the Predator or defeated the Predator. So I think these are all the guys that are probably like,
they're not,
you know, love watching the original. It's like big sweaty dudes, you know, testosterone, whatever. But they can't get over the fact that, so, you know, a smart, resourceful, fierce woman takes down the Predator. Well, it's like, you know what? If you can't get past that, fuck you. Don't watch this movie, dipshits. I mean, it's just really irritating, I have to say, because I read a bunch of the negative reviews. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, honestly. I mean, I think this movie is creative and interesting and fun. And fuck you. That's what I say.
Yeah, agree. So you had told me about some of that. And so I was expecting there to be controversy. And I watched the movie and I'm like, this is a great movie. I really like this. But what is the controversy? And then I started thinking about it a little bit. Oh, it's all these fucking, you know, ultra right wing dipshits and incels who are going, you know, this is just all about like woke culture, you know, like she's Native American, you know, she's not a white woman and she's a woman and she's not a man. And there's no way that she could, you know, defeat this, this Predator because of her size. And she's just a dumb girl. Fuck you guys.
So here's the thing. I mean, they do a nice job of setting up her character. It's one of the things I like about this movie. They give her and her relationship to the tribe and her relationship to this hunting ritual, they actually give it time to develop. Yeah. And that actually, I think, is one of the strong points of the film. Also, you know, you see her practicing, right? So it's, you know, she's sitting there. It's not as if she went from, you know, she was tending the fields to like suddenly she could fight a Predator. No, she's out there. She's doing the work, right? Yeah. She's practicing throwing her axe and she really wants to be a hunter. So all that is great. I mean, you could do the same movie, and if you had a guy doing the same role that she was in, maybe there wouldn't be as many complaints, but I think they handle it really well, and I think her performance is really good. I think she's very compelling in this movie. I like her quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree. I thought she did great. I think if it was a guy, I don't think it would work at all. I think the dynamic between her and her brother works really well, just her being the lowest in the tribe, or lowest in that, not the tribe, but the hunting group. Like, oh, you can't be a hunter. You're like, you're a girl. And so they, all the other guys were trying to push her back and stuff. And the brother was just, I think he was supportive, but I think he just wanted her, like, you need more experience. You're not ready yet.
Yeah. But even he was like, you know, he kind of knew, like, I don't know if this is ever going to really happen here. And so he had his doubts. You know, that's just not the way that's set up in their society either.
No, but also, like, he knew she was smart, like, because they're trapping the lion, right? And so they're trying to like, okay, your trick was good, but you like chickened out. You weren't able, you didn't have that killer instinct, even though like he's like, I had to carry you back. You failed at it. Right. But he's like, yeah, but you had the right instinct.
Right. Like but then he acknowledges later that, well, you know, like she did like the lion's share of the work there because she actually did like spear that lion. She just.
Nice use of lion's share.
Thank you.
Yeah, one thing too, like the when they were talking.
Her name is Amber Midthunder. By the way, we have not said her actual name.
She's fantastic.
She's great.
100% the best thing about this movie. I love this character and I love her portrayal of this character. I'm curious because one of the bad things that you had here, and I wanted an explanation because you said Dakota Beavers, who plays Tabe, her brother.
Yep.
And you said, but not his acting, because I love Tabe as a character. I think he's great. I think that Dakota Beavers is fantastic playing the brother. So what exactly is bad about this? Like, can you please explain? Because I'm really scratching my head.
So by the way, I agree, by the way. I think his performance is good. I think the character is good. Unfortunately, he gives me a little bit of a Corey Feldman hit when I'm looking at him. And so I kept seeing...
Oh my God.
And so honestly, funny. it was to the point, like it was slightly distracting to me. Like when, as I was like, I kept thinking, and maybe it was because Predator, the original Predator film set in the 80s, Corey Feldman in the 80s, maybe I have a Corey Feldman thing I didn't even realize, whatever it is. But you know, there is a little bit of a resemblance there. And so it just kind of throws me.
This is so funny because the whole movie, and I've seen it twice now. I'm just like, I've seen him before. And I looked him up, and this is his first film. And I'm like,
yeah, there's a great story about him actually going from working at a TJ Maxx to actually acting in this film. So super inspirational, really cool. I mean, it's a fun story to read about. But there's just, he has a little bit of a Corey.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, I've never seen him in something before. Who does he remind me of? He must look like someone. I could not figure it out until you just. Oh my God. I don't know if I can watch the movie again now. I loved his portrayal. I mean, everyone in this movie was great. I mean, well, I think you have something to say about the cartoonish French trappers, but
yes.
They weren't great.
They were a great team. I like a great brother sister chemistry in this as well.
Yeah, the one problem there, like you knew that Tabe was gonna make it. Like early on, you're like, oh, he comes back. You're like, poor guy. I think as soon as he came back to the village with the when they were celebrating that he had the lion head and that, I'm like, oh, poor Tabe, you're gonna die.
Well, it is a Predator movie, so you gotta figure.
By the way, so the other thing, I just the overall visuals and the setting of the film. So I believe I looked it up. It was filmed in Calgary, and. It's beautiful. I mean, this is a fun movie to look at. And the cinematography itself in terms of the visuals of the vistas and the running water and the fields. And you really do get a sense that it feels remote. It feels very...
Unspoiled.
Unspoiled, very... You know, the essence of what you would expect from something taking place in the 1700s. So that part of it, I thought was really great. And I loved actual the fact that it was not like the hot steamy jungle too, because it was kind of cool because it was a different topography that was also wild, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was too bad that you couldn't see it in the theater. Like it's watched it at home and it'd be great in that big screen.
Yeah,
yeah, it would actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous and it's an idyllic. It's one of the best things about the movie as well. It's just a pleasure to watch. It is so beautiful.
One of the scenes, or actually they do it twice, I think, where they show, I think the first time they introduce the predator, you have a mouse like comes in and eats an ant, then the snake eats the mouse, and then the predator eats the snake. So they show like the chain of like, you know, hierarchy, and then the same thing, the wolf's chasing the rabbit, then the predator, it's great attack, predator and the wolf. But again, like to me, that was the predator and prey kind of connection, but they didn't quite. Like, I still don't quite get, like, what they're, if they do have a message in that.
It might just be there are bigger predators out there. Yeah. Maybe that's just well, as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just sort of a bit obvious that, you know, you're showing the whole predator versus prey. And he did it twice. Yeah. However, I will go back to The Predator, in which several of the characters, including Olivia Munn, say, well, wait a minute, like, what you're describing is not a predator. You're describing a hunter. How come you don't call it the hunter? And and I have to agree with them.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It's a fair point.
Doesn't work as well.
No.
By the way, a couple of things that I think, just getting back to the setting, is the ship visual. So the arrival of the ship going through the atmosphere and a little bit of the, just kind of the contrast between the natural environment. And it's not even that there's a lot that's shown in terms of the ship, but just, you know, the cloud disturbance and all that kind of stuff. I think it works really well. I think it's compelling when you look at it. I liked those effects for sure.
Were there some special effects that you did not like?
Yeah. So I don't think that a lot of the Predator The Predator is okay for some of the CGI. They do effects where they ripple the cloaking, and they have some of the orange stuff. By the way, my take on that was that the cloaking technology was not as good then as it was in the future. So I think that's kind of what they were trying to reference, because you see the cloak seems more susceptible to being damaged or being affected by some of the impacts and that kind of stuff. But I actually don't think that the animal CGI in this movie is good at all. I think that when you see the lion up on the branch and you see the bear, those are two examples where I don't think and it's just my problem with CGI and animal CGI. It's the same thing with the predator dogs in Predators, right? It looks too fluid. It doesn't look correct. And so that's why, even when you go back and compare it to, say, the practical effects that were used in the original Predator, where you have the creature design, and I forget the name of the actor that was this, like somebody who was in the suit, that to me looks so much better still than what you see with the CGI version of this stuff today.
Okay. I when you say it like that, I think I can understand your point of view. I still think it was good. I think they would have had a hard time, getting a bear to do these bear stunts, because I will tell you that the fight between the predator and the bear was fantastic.
Oh, it's really good.
I loved it.
As I was saying, you know it's CGI, but it's also, like, to me, it didn't take me out of the moment. Like, for both, no. Even the lion, like, both of them, you can tell, like, okay, that's, I wouldn't say it's bad CGI, just say, like, it's obvious CGI. And,
yeah, it doesn't take me out of it. It's just more of a general,
yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a general anti-CGI thing for me. And in particular, yeah. I think CGI animals, they have not mastered that, yeah. And it looks super fake to me. That's just...
Have you watched any of the live action, like we were watching the live action Jungle Book or any of those new ones? It's like, ugh.
Oh, no, I haven't actually. Example. I would not be running towards those movies for that reason. Yeah. I don't need to see CGI animals talking.
No, that's not why I ran to them.
I understand your position, by the way.
I agree with Colin. That bear attack, though, regardless of the CGI, I thought the bear attack was fantastic. Like, it's a great battle, and it's a great, like, oh, like, here's a worthy...
No, the moment is good, and so it's one of those things where it's like, I did not want to be distracted by the CGI, which is, and so for me personally, I just was, and so it became a little bit of a damper, that's all.
I was not taken out of the moment at all by any of that. I think you just... But I understand your preference, because, I prefer that as well.
Yeah,
I don't think you would get that scene if you tried to do it with practical effects. That's all.
No, it looked like a goofy.
There's no way they would have been able to do that.
Well, and I'm sure PETA would get all pissed off when you like skewered the bear and stuck it way in the air and all that kind of stuff. So
it would have been a little difficult. Yeah. It looks like he's holding your fur coat.
So getting back to the Predator too, I one thing I just really, really liked about this movie was the fact that they devolved the Predator tech. That to me was actually smart writing, and I thought it was a lot of fun. So, the helmet doesn't quite have the same abilities. What is being fired from the shoulder is not the laser cannon, so it's projectiles, right? So the idea is that in the past, like the Predators themselves had to evolve their weaponry. So I think that's really cool. Obviously, the look of the Predator itself is much more... I don't know what you'd call it. Primitive.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's a bone. So, like you can see, it's just all bone and not like the.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and so
the,
I, all
that's,
that I think
well,
is
that's
actually
still the helmet.
Yeah, but it's not an armor helmet. It's like you can see it looks.
Yeah,
like
it's like
made a, out
it
of
looks
bone.
Like right. It looks like the helmet. It looks like it's made out of bone and not metal, which is it is really, and it gives it a very sort of primitive look, right? Which is the mandibles are much bigger.
Yeah, the mandibles are different, so it's a different. There are some different differences in terms of the actual the creature itself, but I think that it's overall. I like the fact that when they were putting this together, they're like, well, it's probably unlikely that the predator that Schwarzenegger fought in 300 years from now, 350 years from now, is the same as it was in the past. And so the idea of actually being smart enough to change the character design, to change the weaponry, to even change the helmet tech, right? So inside the helmet tech, the scanners and that kind of stuff seem far less capable than what you see in those other Predator films. And so I really appreciate that. That to me is just smart, and I liked it.
Though, when you think about it, they still have the capability to cross interstellar space through their spacecraft and have either faster than light travel or go through wormholes. So I think they might have shoulder mounted lasers back then too.
Well, maybe it's just a sporting thing. Maybe just things they evolve over time.
Maybe after they
got their ass kicked by women, that they're like, God damn, these woke women are just destroying me. We got to get a laser cannon or something.
They had to change the rules because of Nauru. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you can use laser weapons now. You got your ass smoked.
Yeah. And then I guess one other question I had just for you guys, do you think that the language transition works?
Yes.
It's a little bit reminiscent of the Hunt for Red October, where they're speaking Russian and the camera goes in and they pull back and they're just in English. So I realized I had to get used to it just for a few minutes, but then I was able to go with it.
It didn't bother me. They use a lot of Comanche throughout, and through context, you know what they're saying. Like, it's not, I don't think it's critical to have it all translated in.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned the Hunt for October, because I thought of that too. And I thought specifically when I saw your note, and about, you know, is it weird? Is it bad? And they didn't actually do that. She just starts the movie on a black screen saying something in Comanche, and then she goes into English. And then at times she will say something in Comanche.
Right.
No, but you don't see her actually like speaking. And then, you know, like in the Hunt for October, he's speaking in Russian and the camera goes, like,
right,
zooms
okay.
in on
so,
his mouth, and then he suddenly switches to English, and then it pulls back. They didn't
do much,
any
I'm
of
sorry,
that.
it's a much faster version of that, I guess, is what
I don't
I'm
think
saying.
It was
it's
a version same. Of that at all. I think the first line of dialogue is in Comanche, and then she starts speaking English, and that's it. And you don't see her even speaking. But I had no problems with it at all. I appreciated the fact that they actually chose to speak in English as if it were Comanche. And then when you get to like the French trappers, they don't understand them as speaking English. They understand them as speaking Comanche, even though we're hearing English.
Yeah, maybe that's actually what I was referencing more than the opening, was that idea that you're using English in this case as a language that is just a proxy for another language. So that's what I think about it in terms of the Hunt for Red October, right? Mm-hmm. Because they are having those conversations in English in front of the French trappers, and you know, there's one that ends up speaking a little bit of Comanche, I guess. But other than that, it's just, you know, no one knows what's being said.
And when he's speaking,
I think it works. I just think it's kind of interesting the way they do it. Yeah.
And when the translator is speaking Comanche, we hear English, which is great. I think they handled it really well. By the way, they actually did. There's a Comanche dub that you can watch.
Oh, that's awesome,
on
actually.
Hulu, and it's all Comanche the whole way through. At least it is for when they're speaking. I'm not sure about the trappers. Now, I think that when the trappers are speaking, it's just in French, and they don't like translate any of it. At least that's what I saw. Right?
I don't think they translate it either.
And you don't find those French trappers to be slightly cartoonish?
Oh, they were terrible. I thought they were like very much like,
no,
like,
go away or she'll taunt you a second time. Yeah. I mean, that's the energy that's coming off those guys.
Like a high energy Pirates of Caribbean, like goofy kind of guys. It didn't work.
It's a little jarring to me because I think the rest of it is so well done. There's something about those characters, and I don't know if it's the character design, if it's the way that the language is used. I'm not sure, but it feels all of a sudden like you're watching a movie versus you're in this immersive experience.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you met a French trapper in 1719? All right. I loved it.
Well, dude,
I thought it was fucking great. I understand why you think they're cartoonish, but I thought it was great. And
many of them are playing the role big. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Certainly the leader of them, he's going to 11. But I liked it because it makes them seem more villainy.
And actually, I guess I didn't think that was needed. And maybe that's exactly, I think you just hit the point for me, which is, I understand you want these people to be evil. You've already set up the fact that they're against, or they're doing things incorrectly by killing the buffalo and just taking the skin. So you're not sympathetic to them to begin with. But I don't know. I just don't think that it's a little bit twirly mustache evil for me. That group, it's just it's too big, it's too much. I think that they could have done the same thing and had them be slightly understated, and it would not have been as distracting for me personally.
I again go back to when was the last time you met a French trapper from 1719? I feel like, yeah, that's like that guy, that character.
Let me ask you this. When's the last time you ran into a fucking French trapper in the 1700s, right? How do we know which one of us is right?
1719, that's when.
This is not an answerable question.
No, but I think for me, it wasn't distracting, and I liked it. So
I was going to say, for me, the mood for the rest of the movie, they seem out of place for the setting and where they're, like, and that might be intentional too, right? They are out of place. They're tramping over the land. They're killing buffalo. They're destroying, you know, this nature scene. So it might be overdone on purpose for that reason that they.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that may be what it is. And I guess I think that I don't think this movie needs it. There's a lot of serenity in this movie in a way in the beginning, right? And that's,
that's very,
and that's very enjoyable. And it really, you are immersed in the environment and it's fun to see. And it's again, like you're saying, right? It's the story of a woman who is going through a journey, and yes, there's a predator there, but the idea that it's not the predator movie. And so I think that the French trappers just take it slightly off course for me personally. It lessens the movie a bit.
I'll allow it.
Okay. And the last thing, by the way, for me, I did like her relationship with her dog. I thought that was fun. I thought that she had a companion who was involved in the fight, was smart, resourceful, loyal. I just, that was a, and the dog itself is pretty cool. So it's a nice looking dog.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they didn't kill the dog. It was a good
thing. Right. And the dog lives. Yay.
You know, they weren't going to go too far in that one.
No. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
We'll kill off the brother and the whole hunting tribe. That's fine.
You want controversy? Like, remember what happened in Game of Thrones when Ned had to kill Lady? Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. It was like, sure, they're killing babies and they're killing like men left and right, but no, you kill a dog and people just get really, really upset.
It's like in Drag Me to Hell. She killed that cat. Kitten.
The kitten. It was a kitten.
She killed the kitten with a big smile on her face too when she came back and she's like, yep, that task is done.
By the way, that was one of the reasons that Emily never watched any more than season one of Game of Thrones is because things like Lady. When they killed Lady, it was like I can't watch this anymore.
That's funny.
I'm like, you just wait until they rape everyone.
No, I like the dog too. I thought he was a good character and good personality.
I mean, all of the Native American culture in this film I thought was really fascinating. You sort of know all of it, but the way that they are so resourceful and make their own tools when they need them out of nature, you know, they just like stop, boom, build a a cot or like they just
grab, I was gonna say that's actually make some lanterns. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Yeah. Honestly, I'd love that. I love the fact that's you see them stripping all the stuff off trees. They're working together as a team, and they are able to build it out. And the fact that they're doing the right thing by trying to help their member of the tribe, and that's just the way that all that happens so quickly, and everyone kind of comes together on it. That's a pretty cool moment. It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie, actually.
Yeah, she does the same thing though, also to make her rope. She like you just see her stripping the leaves and stuff and weaving it together. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of her little flying axe?
That would never work.
But it was a great concept.
It was cool.
I like the concept actually. The concept was fun.
I loved it.
I liked it. Like she throwing it all around and yanking it back and throwing it again. It was cool.
And catching it. And I think they made it look like it could actually work. And they made it look believable. And
you go in your backyard and try that out.
No, thanks. No. But that's the other thing about Naru. She is a badass. Like she's running around. She's sliding. She's like running up trees. Like all this stuff. She's a little badass.
No, yeah, see, no, that's one of the reasons why, that's one of the reasons why I think it's like, it's a fine, a thumb in the eye for people that are having whatever problems, because it's not somebody Schwarzenegger-like. But I actually think that they use her size and her resourcefulness in terms of what they've developed as her character as a strength, right? That's exactly it. I mean, she is sliding between the predator's legs and jumping up over his head and, you know, bouncing off trees and doing all this kind of acrobatic stuff that, you know, a Schwarzenegger type figure could not do. And that, I think, is actually what I think is kind of fun about the final fight, honestly, is it's, you know, she's using a whole bunch of agility as her primary weapon against the Predator, really, to kind of keep it off balance. And I think it works pretty well. Yeah. That being said, by the way, I don't know that the helmet thing really tracks for me. That one I have a little bit of a problem with, right? I mean, she saw at one point the red dots hit a tree and the projectile came out. But I'm not sure exactly how you set it up so that it fires into the Predator at the end. So that one's a little bit of a stretch for me, I got to be honest.
Let's talk about that for a sec, because I agree. And I wrote that down as a note that I don't know if I really got that. I watched the movie again, and maybe I just paid closer attention this time around. But now I understand exactly how she got the idea and what she was doing when she did that. And it wasn't like this grand plan, but she took an opportunity and she thought, if I can get the Predator, I'm not going to kill him on my own. Like, I think she was like, that's not going to happen. But if I can take his helmet and somehow get him in one spot and be, and, you know, I have the helmet set up in another spot, if I can get him right there, I have a chance of getting him to basically shoot himself. And that's exactly what she ended up doing at the end. Like, she was waiting for this. She lured him into, again, the mud pit, right? So that did come into play, just not how we were thinking it was going to come into play.
Which, by the way, the fact that it didn't come into the way that we thought it was going to play out is a good thing.
It's a really good thing. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. You know, like, the final duel was not as long as the original Predator. But she did, I wish they maybe had spent some time showing her preparing that whole killing area, because she did do a lot of work. She had like sharpened sticks on trees where she like.
They showed you enough, but I think they didn't want to spoil it for you.
I think it would have been like, this is the exact same thing that happened in The Predator or in Predator.
But they also saw him like, oh, he got him into the mud pit. You thought like, oh, the mud pit's going to trap him. He's going to like go under or something. And like, that's her win. But then using the helmet too was just an extra, like, I thought it was good. I liked it.
I think it's funny, because I went back actually to watch the movie. I didn't watch the entire thing again, but I went back to the fight with the fur trappers, right? Because that's where she sees the targeting and the projectile following the targeting.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where I guess she got the idea to then replicate it to take down the Predator.
Yeah.
I just don't know that there's, let me say this. I think that to me, what would have actually been more exciting or interesting would be if she had used a bunch of other natural weapons to somehow take down the Predator and continue kind of like chipping away at him, like she was doing in terms of like jumping over and hitting with the axe and that kind of thing.
You know
that
what she should have done? Set up two logs and so then like a log on each side, and then it could, just like the Ewoks, right?
The ATST attack.
Wait, I'm sorry. Didn't Schwarzenegger do that? he did that as well. Did he take his?
He
stole his ideas.
He
from
killed
the
with a log. He didn't kill it with a log. That was his final. He set up a snare, and then Predator bypassed the snare, so he triggered the log.
Yeah. Now I did like they showed the resourcefulness of Naru throughout. Also, like when she got in the fight with the other hunter who's trying to bring her back. Like you showed, like she would like fight dirty almost. Like she bit the guy and like she was doing like all sorts. Like, okay, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get out of here. And I think her mom had the quote of like, we do whatever it takes to survive. So it's definitely she had that kind of spirit, and I thought it was great. Yeah,
yeah.
That particular interaction was fun too, because the guy's like, fuck this, I'm not taking you. It's like, oh, this is, you're too hot to handle. Right?
So he's like, basically,
he just gives up. He's like, fine, you do you. Go into the forest. He's like, I'm done with this. So I kind of like that. I thought that was fun. Yeah.
But I mean, they set it up too that, you know, she takes on like three or four French trappers, and you know, like in hand to hand, and you know, she takes them down. And so she'd seen it a couple times now already, and then she sort of put two and two together that it's going to hit like one of those dots, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. If I can get it, if I can get that aim, the laser aim, like the laser dots, you know, like to focus on his head and get him to fire, then the thing's just going to like circle around and ultimately kill him. And she set it up perfectly. So it was a bit of a stretch, but I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, from a character standpoint, I get it. And I think it supports the idea that she's intelligent and resourceful, which I think that works. Beyond that, though, I just think that it almost would have been more powerful or interesting if she had managed to take down the Predator with a collection of more primitive weapons. That, I think, would have been more interesting just ultimately for me personally. I mean, that's part of the reason why I don't love that particular ending.
I thought the same thing with the gun, too, because she was given the gun and then she, like, the guy explained to her how to use it, but she couldn't get it to work for a while. And so I thought the gun was going to be like a symbol of like modern man again, like, it's going to fail you. You need to rely on your own resources, your own, your own.
Oh, like you were setting like a critical misfire at the moment.
Yeah. So like, but it doesn't work out that way. Right. She actually does use the gun and is able to blast it off his head. So it's kind of a miss again and I know about the gun now with the tied to Predator 2 and all that stuff, but I don't know. Yeah. It seems it's fine. Like it's not a big deal. Like, and I don't think they're trying to go too deep or into some of that stuff, but.
I think it shows that she actually is smart because she's going like, I'm not going to be able to kill him with my own weapons. I can't even kill him with, you know, this newfangled, you know, European weapon. I'm going to have to use his weapon against him.
Yeah, no, again, from the intelligence and resourcefulness, 100%, that's fine. I just think that it's a stretch that, and otherwise, by the way, this is a movie that, there weren't a whole lot of like no fucking way moments for me. Like when I was watching it, it's like there were not a lot of those, and that's to the credit of the film. I mean, I think it makes it better.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So having that one in there is just a little bit of like a okay. I mean, it's fine. It's a little bit of the ex machina kind of ending, I guess.
Yeah, and I did love I loved her walking back to the village like holding the Predator head. That was pretty badass.
That was badass. All
right. This is,
by the way,
like. Tabby came back with the lion's head, and she's like, I got the Predator head. Like,
is that Predator blood incandescent, though? Does that actually, I mean, can you use it as a light source?
Probably pretty low power one, but yeah.
Yeah, so I think, is there anything else you guys want to talk about in terms of individual things, or you want to just do kind of closing thoughts on Prey?
I think closing thoughts would be fine.
Closing thoughts on Prey. Marcus, what do you got?
I really enjoyed it. I did not expect to as much. I didn't know what to expect going in. I don't think I saw any previews or anything, but I thought it was really good, super strong actress and good role, great story. Like I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun movie, probably the best Predator since the first. I'd put it up there. It's like almost even, I think, between the two. So I would give it a B+.
Colin.
It's a total surprise and delight. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. I'm sort of glad that I didn't really have the whole Predator franchise behind me when I watched it. And it was only until like after I watched those movies again that like pieces fell into place, which makes it me think that it's an even better movie because it was really able to break out of the mold of those other movies, even though, yes, it does follow the formula. It does it really well, and it does it by focusing more on this character of Naru and who Amber Midthunder, she crushed it. Great movie, really, really, probably one of the best movies I've seen in a while. Certainly one of the best like action movies that I've seen in a while now. And I'm giving it an A-.
Yeah, I'll also give it an A-. I think that overall, it's really well made, and it's interesting. Taking it to the past the way that they do, especially if you're familiar with the other films in the franchise, it really does actually feel new and fresh, which is pretty interesting when you figure that, what is this, the seventh or eighth film in the overall franchise? I'm not sure. And I do think Amber Midthunder is fantastic. She's very compelling. She's fun to watch. I actually love the fact that you have this smaller woman just kicking ass on the Predator. And again, her fighting style and her intelligence and resourcefulness and all that, I think, is just tons of fun. And just as a character, you really buy the drive that she has, right? She, you know, she really wants to be a hunter and she's very focused on it. So the scenes of her practicing again, it's just like she's taking steps to try to get where she wants to go. And it just, all of that comes together in a way that that plus the visuals, I think, just make it really interesting. It's fun. It's compelling. And it felt fresh and new. And again, all that being said, it's still slightly formulaic. So I guess my question would be, you know, do you guys think that they should keep making Predator movies? Why don't we end on this? What do you think, Colin?
Well, I would say,
let me amend my question actually, because I think this was fresh and new. I think if you try to do it again in that same, you know, the old world setting or whatever, or let's just say it, you know, all of a sudden it's like the Predators in the Civil War or whatever, right? I think that this could go off the, I think it could go off the rails, right? So I don't think you need to see the Predator in a bunch of interesting historical places. So I'm thinking that maybe one and done, and maybe just close out the Predator franchise here. I think that would be, so you bookend it with a couple of really strong movies, and I'm not sure you need to make any more. That's just my general opinion.
Okay.
I want Predator versus the Man with No Name. Come on, let's get Clint Eastwood. We get a Western going. I think we got it.
I don't know. I think you could.
Now I amend my statement, because putting the Predator in a Western, that might actually be pretty badass when I think about it. So
didn't they do that?
I love Westerns.
Wasn't that Cowboys and Aliens?
Yeah.
Actually, that probably was Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah. That was awful. That was an awful movie. No, but now that you say that, like, I would totally go for seeing. This is what I'll say. Should they make any more Predator movies? Well, I'm going to say no. I just don't think it, you just can't support it. And I know that they're probably going to make a sequel to Prey, and it's going to be, because at the end of the end credits, they show, like, they, you know, the end credits, like, it's this really fun animation that recounts the whole movie, the whole storyline of the movie. And at the very end, they look up in the sky and there are Predator craft coming down. So I feel like, you know, they're setting that up for a sequel, and it's just not going to be, it's not going to have the same, you know, feel. It's not going to. So I don't really want to see that.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're all pretty much aligned. I mean, I think it's fair to say, I mean, Marcus only has two to pick from, but so for Marcus, this is definitely his, or no, he saw Predator 2. The three Predator movies you've seen, these are the best two.
Yeah.
I think these are the best two, or this is the second best movie since the original. And I think, Colin, you'd agree with that, right?
Yeah, and I personally would give it, I'd say Predator and Prey are like 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe take a pass on the rest of the stuff, or at least be prepared for an awful lot of repetition and some weirdness, lots of weirdness, actually. Particularly Predator 2 and The Predator. Those are just some weird movies.
Like, if I was to rewatch a movie, I'd rather rewatch Prey than Predator. It's just far more character development and far more, it's just far more interesting.
By the way,
cinematography is better. Like, it's definitely a better movie.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm going to go back to Prey more often now than I'm going to go back to Predator. Now, I probably also had my fill of watching. I've seen Predator so many times, but I really it makes me sort of, I like seeing the whole, you know, like, female main character. I really dig that. I think she's totally awesome in what she does. I'm just recounting what I've already said, but I'm going to go back to that movie more often than I'm going to go back to Predator, because that's been done to death. But this is
great. Judging a 35-year-old movie against current criteria, right? So it's harder to, like,
I will ride hard for the original Predator in terms of being a very impressive piece of action filmmaking.
It's a classic action movie.
Yeah.
It is a classic.
All right. Well, to wrap this up, I guess we have some consensus across the Real DMC crew here that watch the original Predator, maybe jump to Prey, then call it a day.
Yeah.
Nope. No rhyme intended. So, yeah. Congratulations to Dan Trachtenberg, for the director Dan Trachtenberg, for putting together a really fun and interesting movie after other people have tried to do it and made it very annoying and repetitive. And Big shout out to Amber Midthunder and Dakota Beavers in particular. I think their performances are really good and very compelling and lots of fun. So definitely recommend Prey. If you probably don't even really need to see the original Predator, honestly, you could probably just drop in and watch Prey and have a good time with it. But if you wanted to do a two movie bookend, start with Predator, the original, jump to Prey, and then call it.
Yeah, as I say, Dan Trachtenberg has his two movies he's directed is 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is really good. And then now Prey.
Yep.
Look forward to see what else he does.
So anyways, hope you enjoyed our conversation about the Predator franchise and a little bit deeper review and conversation about the film Prey. We are probably going to be, again, bouncing between movies and maybe a more general discussion. So if there's a particular genre, franchise, director that you'd be interested in, send us some feedback and we'll give it a shot. Marcus, Colin, do you have anything else that you want to, or do you have anything that immediately comes to mind that you think you might want to do?
Only racing movies.
More Formula One.
No, I don't want to go the Italian Job.
Yeah. All right. So we'll figure it out and we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
And that's about where we are at the moment. So, and with that, I'll say this is the Real DMC Podcast. Signing off. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Predator sound.
I can't hear you. You should just insert the actual Predator sound then.
No, my Predator's pretty good.